Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
So today we're talking food. Actually, it's an X-rated episode today. We're talking food porn. I know you'll be stoked about that, Coxie. And it's just before lunch too. What a crap time to talk to someone about food and tradie nutrition. But joining us at the Tradies in Business podcast today is Anthony Power from Power Nutrition. Mate, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I hope it's our pleasure too, mate. But Anthony, just jump straight in, mate. Who are you? What do you do? And how on earth did you get to be so famous that you're on the Tradies in Business podcast today?
Well, I am a registered nutritionist, and I work in private practice. So I see patients privately, sort of one-on-one. And the majority of patients I see, weight loss, diabetes, gut issues, fatigue. So, a broad range of issues, but a lot of them are to do with, Anthony, I want to lose weight. Anthony, I've been diagnosed with diabetes or heart disease. What can I do to change my diet to better my health?
Now, Anthony, you've been doing this for a while. I think 15 years or so.
15 years, yeah. Yep.
But if we just go back a little before that, help the listeners understand who you are, I guess. It's that thing, we've all got a story, right? And, I look at your business card here and it's got a very juicy looking Granny Smith apple on there, which is really unkind, mate, because I'm fasting today. So I'd really like to eat that apple. But, mate, you weren't always doing this. You got a bit of a journey that led you to nutrition, mate?
Yeah, I had, when I finished school, I had no idea. So I just ended up doing a business degree. I thought, well, a commerce degree has got to help me with. And it is still a great,
you and me both, mate. I did one of them too.
Yeah, and listen, I think it's probably like is it a law degree, an engineering degree, an apprenticeship? I can still read financial things. I can understand markets and understand all that. My bank balance is still pretty woeful, but I can understand all the bits and pieces. So did that and then came out and then I graduated at the end of 91. Big recession in Australia. Paul Keating was prime minister. The recession we had to have. I hit the road, went overseas for a couple of years, and had a wonderful time backpacking around. And I think it's probably still one of the best things I've ever done. Came back and a friend of a friend was working as a journalist at a radio station. And I thought, really, do I want to do this whole, commerce business, etc.? And I ended up getting a job, believe it or not, in a 2PK in Parks, where the dish is, as a radio announcer. Can you believe it? And listen, a door opened here, a door opened there. A guy said, listen, Anthony, come down and bang, before I knew it, I had a job. But did that, for a while and eventually got into the ABC working as a broadcaster, talking about, everything, politics and economics and all that. And I did that, from about, 91, 92 to about 2000. And then I stopped and I thought, do I want to do this for the rest of my life? And I thought, well, no, I want to actually do something. I want to have a bit more of an impact rather than sort of just do, report on news and all that. And then again, sliding doors, I thought, what do I really want to do? And probably what I wish I had the courage to do when I finished school was to go and study nutrition or biochemistry or the body. I just was always really interested in food, and my mum and dad were great cooks. They worked, but they cooked, and I was really interested in all that. And finally just went back and did a nutrition degree. what, 17, 18 years ago now. And isn't it interesting? One of the girls I studied with did my commerce degree. She was actually the marketing manager of the tertiary institution that did this market, that did the nutrition degree. So here I am. I walked into this information session and run into Georgina, who's the marketing manager of the nutrition course. And bang, it just led from there and did the went back, did the degree, and here I am 15 years later. So it's been a great journey, but I really appreciate now what I do. I think if I did it when I left school, I'd probably, God knows what I appreciate it much more now.
So you're obviously always pretty fit and healthy, mate, hence the interest in nutrition.
Interesting. I thought I knew everything, Warwick. I thought I knew everything. I thought I was fit. I was eating the right way. I was training the right way, but I wasn't. And that has been a bit of a revelation too, that always thought I, always eating the, I suppose, the, the right foods in moderation, all those words that we hear, eat in a balanced way, eat in moderation, just move more. And I was sort of doing all that, triathlons, and I was eating my three pieces of fruit a day, and I was having my, Weet-Bix for breakfast and pasta, and but it was, it was wholemeal pasta, it was wholemeal rice, and
all the healthy stuff. Yep.
All the healthy stuff, yeah. So it was interesting when I was seeing patients, even I changed the way I practiced probably after I've been doing this for say 15 years. For the first 10 years, I followed the guidelines. I was treating patients as per that way of moderation, eat your grains, eat your fruit, etc.
Yep.
And I was telling my patients this, and the results I was getting were so poor. Patients weren't losing weight. Patients' diabetes wasn't getting better. You'd get patients, a few patients would lose a few kilos, feel a bit better, but then you'd be back to square one after a while. And I was feeling lousy too. That was the big thing with me. Here I am telling all my patients to do this and do that. And you know what? I felt, I won't swear, but I felt so lousy. I had gut issues. I was fatigued. I had horrible sweet cravings.
And you know what? You were following the guidelines as well?
And I was following the guidelines. But, mate, I was doing the training.
Yeah.
I was eating and I was snacking every couple of hours, but I was snacking on wholemeal toast and tahini with a bit of honey on it, I was having my three apples a day. And I'm thinking, why am I feeling so lousy? And then I felt like a bit of a fraud. I thought, well, if I'm feeling so lousy, how can I be telling my patients the way to fix things, and I can't even fix myself? So that was a big wake-up call.
So what led you on the journey then, Anthony, to find what you consider to be the right way now?
Yeah, Nicole, I remember said to my wife, I said, I'm going to go and there were two things. I could go and mow lawns for a living, or I could, it was in the middle of the mining boom. And I said, well, and one of my patients, I always tell the story, one of my patients mowed lawns. And I thought, God, I might just, and he was an ex-corporate guy, and he said, mate, it's a great stress reliever. Just go bloody mow. You can go mow. And another patient drove trucks. I think Mount Isa Way. Mm-hmm. It's all hard work, fly in, fly out. Everyone's got all stresses. But I think was earning, $150,000. And I thought, bloody hell, maybe I'll just go get my,
Don't drive a dump truck.
And I'll go and do that. But then I thought, well, hang on. So I thought, I went back to answer your question. I went back and reread the literature. A book fell in my lap and a bit of research. And I thought, well, who's getting results? So I put my ego at the door and I thought, well, I'm not getting results. Who else is?
Mm.
And there were names bandied around that, we at university, we said, oh, don't listen to these people. They're, you know, they're really on the outer. What they're doing is dangerous. And I thought, well, hang on, I'll just delve into the dangerous space and watch some podcast or watch some YouTube, some podcasts, bought some books and read the research. And these names like, you know, Tim Noakes, Jeff Volak, Stephen Finney, Eric Westerman, and that made me, and I looked at all this and I thought, wow, this is well done. It's well referenced, and it makes sense and the results are there. So, and that planted the seed, and then I had to say, right, let's try it on me, Nicole. So I tried it on me and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And hence that I just, you know, I do that now for my, I change that way of treatment for my patients. So it's, it was an absolute revelation to me. And it was bloody hard. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't this, you know, I talk about having a magic pill. It was bloody hard. It was, I had to change habits and change the way I did things and the way things were done. This was the way things are done in nutrition.
Mm. So on that point, have you found a lot of resistance from your colleagues?
Yes. Initially, yes, because you want to, you feel like, I felt like a little kid who just discovered that Santa Claus was actually real. And I wanted to tell everyone. And, you know, I felt like, you've got to temper that exuberance a little bit because, again, we're talking about science and we're talking about, you know, that fine line between evangelism and science and beating people over the head with all this information. But, yeah, there was, Nicole, yeah, there was resistance because it's like, oh, hang on, mate. You know, what are you, you know, what book are you selling and what's your idea and what's your latest fad?
Yeah. What are you selling? I think is the key one, isn't it, mate?
Yeah. What are you selling? Yeah. What are you selling? What's your pill? What's your course? You must have something to, you know, a new 6-week boot camp to sell, Anthony. So that, you know, that bit me on the bum a little bit because you talk to my, to, you know, this space when, you know, there, this, it's a very conservative space, probably a bit like the medical fraternity, very, very conservative. So I, you know, yeah, I had to pull my head in and just thought, well, listen, I will continue, you know, for me feeling better, but then I'll also get my, patients feeling better. Mm. And then, you know, it sounds a bit cliche, but I'll say, well, you know, I'll just let that sort of speak for itself.
Absolutely.
And yeah, you've got, you know, you can change the, I thought, well, you know, I still try to change the world, but you've just got to change the world one person by one person, change the world a bit for yourself first and then bit by bit. And then, you know, people hear about it and then it goes on from there.
Mm.
So, Anthony, you said, you know, you had this revelation and obviously things changed for you. What were some of the changes you noticed for yourself? You know, how did life change for you?
The weight, you know, I was always, I was probably about mid-80s. You know, I was probably carrying about 10 kilos too much than what I wanted to, and I was exercising my tail off.
Mm.
You know, aiming to do a full Ironman and all this. But then by changing diet, I dropped more than 10. I dropped probably almost, at my lightest, I went from about 84, 85 kilos down to 70.
Mm-hmm.
And then since I built up a bit of muscle and I'm probably back to about 73
mm-hmm.
kilos at the moment. So the weight loss, Warwick, was the big one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And not from training? You didn't like do more gym work or any special sort of PT?
No. I actually pulled back on the amount of aerobic training I was doing. All the triathlon training, the swimming, the running, the cycling. I pulled back a little bit on that. It was I was becoming probably a bit obsessed with it. Mm. So I pulled back on that. And predominantly I'd say it was 80% diet related. And I did start doing, I went back to the gym and I started, I just went back, ran to the wonderful trainer and just got back into squats and deadlifts and just some pretty basic bar work. Mm. And again, it was a bit of sliding doors. So to answer your question, it was, I reckon, 80% diet related.
And anything else, like from a lifestyle point of view, and just family life, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, listen, fogginess was the fogginess, the brain fog for me. And I just thought everyone had brain fog. You know, I thought it was just part of life. You just, you know, with kids and marriage and work, and you just felt fuzzy in the brain. I thought that was life. That disappeared. I think I was a hell of a lot nicer person because I wasn't getting these. I call it this roller coaster. I call it the carb roller coaster. The hyper and hypoglycemia when that hangry. And my God, mate, I got it bad. If food was running late, or I was stuck in a meeting or whatever, I was a nasty piece of work. I had to eat something, you know. So I got the cravings were horrible. The hangry, the fogginess, the grumpiness, you know, and I, when I was much younger, I used to get, you know, and I'm even embarrassed talking about this. I had irritable bowel syndrome and I had migraine headaches.
Mm.
And here I am as a bloody exercising nutritionist thinking, oh my God, it's like, you know, this is a deep, dark secret that I cannot let anyone know about.
Yeah.
And you try all the supplements and all the different da 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 da. And you know what? Changing my diet, I think I've had one migraine in 5 years and tummy has just been fantastic. So I think mentally a much nicer person physically. And it all sounds, I know, like, see, it's when I hear myself talking about this, I'm going, oh, hang on. You know, there's what's the, you know, my God, he must have a book to sell. But
you're working on it though, aren't you, Anthony?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, one day. But this is again why the why I felt so strongly about it, and why you still got to change. I had to change, and it was a tough one to change because that whole giving up those carbohydrates and getting off that carb roller coaster is still. And I got to work on it. It's a bloody hard thing to do, but it's doable. So,
can we talk through some of those changes that you did make or that you suggest that your clients make, Anthony? Tell us about what you feel is the right way, what's worked for you and your clients.
Yeah, well, I think the hardest thing or the best thing was to actually for a type 1 diabetic who was also on a ketogenic diet, she said to me, and I said, oh, but I can't give up bread. And she sort of looked at me and she said, why can't you give up bread? I said, well, because of the fiber. And because it's whole grain, and you know, and that, and I thought, my gosh, you know, I just sound like everyone else. And then I thought, hang on, you know, why can't you give up bread and you know, what am I going to have with my spaghetti bolognese? You know, and what am I going to have with my stir fry? But I love my fruit, you know. So I, you know, so it really made, as I say, there were no sacred cows when it comes to eating. So I actually, you know, pulled all those foods out of my diet and stopped. The biggest thing was the snacking, eating every 2 hours, and it was really hard because that change is a tough one. So pull back on the snacking, pull back on the, you know, the, because again, as I say to my patients now, there's a little pinch of a difference between white bread and brown bread, anything whole. There's no real whole grains unless you're eating handfuls of wheat, of real wheat, just, you know, that you've just grabbed off a wheat plant. You know, that's ground up to talcum powder. It's ground down. It's not really, you know, it's not really whole wheat. So just understanding that, pulling those things out of my diet, my patient's diet, and that was the biggest one. And then just going back and rereading all this whole, the fat and the cholesterol, not fearing, as I call them, really good quality fuels, the fats, the proteins, and trying to get a bit more of a steady, steady fuel into me. So look, getting rid of I call them the boom and bust foods, the snacks, the chips, the biscuits, the corn chips, the rice thins, the muesli bars, the fruit, the dried fruit.
So what am I actually going to eat then?
Yeah, good question.
Because that's about half of my daily intake, isn't it?
Yeah, good question. And, you know, for most of it, it's about 70% of what we eat is carbohydrate-based. And the carbohydrates is not just sugar, it's, the fruit and all those things I mentioned. But getting back to eating, you know, say for breakfast, you know, eating your eggs and your snags and your chops and your steak and your mince, not because it's you're being a rebel, and because it's that's what the caveman ate or whatever. It's because that's a really sustaining fuel. You know, the body's going to break all that open in your body and go, wow, these eggs and avocado and mince and cheese, it's all wonderful stuff. And then for lunchtime, again, it's coming back to the fish, the meat, the green leafy veggies, and dinner time, pretty much the same. And taking a break between those, I say, you know, fuel up on those, whether you're having one, two, or three meals a day, fuel up well with really sustainable fuel, i.e. food, and then don't eat. Just like I say, if you're driving a car, you don't stop at every single petrol station and put $2 worth of petrol in your car. Why not fill the tank up for 60, 100, 120 bucks of fuel, and you've got 500, 600, 700K or whatever to the next service station. So, you know, that's the way we should eat and fuel up. So stop the incessant snacking. But to do that, you've got to fuel up on the right food, not fear fat and protein.
And I love that analogy of even the type of fuel, you know. So as well as not stopping every servo and putting $2 worth in, it's fueling up with diesel instead of, you know, jet fuel that's going to be gone in a flash, whereas your diesel is just going to burn and burn and burn, and you'll get, you know, 750 Ks out of a tank.
Yeah, absolutely. It's rocket fuel. You're right. It's rocket fuel compared to diesel, or, you know, if you've got an electric car. One, we'll all have one in a few years' time, is, again, charging that Tesla battery or charging that electric car, and, absolutely going for whether it's diesel or battery, going for a long, long time, and doing it and feeling okay. Whilst you're halfway between those petrol stations, you might get a bit nervy and you might get a bit of a flutter and you might feel a bit hangry and a bit whatever, but eventually, you know what, that feeling goes. And it takes practice. It takes a few weeks, a few months. For some, it may be there for a little bit longer. For me, it probably took me about 6 months, I reckon, to have the mentally and physically the confidence just to say, no, listen, that's I don't need that anymore. And then you've got to break those habits. You know, when the food's there, you've got to say no. But it gives you that, if you're not, if you haven't got that crushing, that horrible low blood sugar or that feeling that you've got to eat, you're being driven by food. When you can step back from that, it's easy to say no. If you're being driven by food, saying no, and that's the majority of us, saying no is almost impossible.
I think one of my most favorite lessons I learned along my journey to eating better was sort of getting a couple months in and starting to have some real clarity and control around what I was eating, and then maybe getting to an event or somewhere where there'd be something I wouldn't ordinarily eat, like let's say a crusty bread roll or something, which are delicious, so you'd indulge, and then realizing how crap I would feel in a couple of hours after that, and I'd still be feeling pretty cruddy the next day as well. So if you can hold out, I think, for that first month or two, you really then can see the difference that those foods make or the impact that they have on your diet when you do occasionally have them. It's a great motivator to stay away.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And to take that break, and as I say to patients, be black and white. Really try to make a break. And then if you get that insight, you're right, Nicole. It's an incredibly powerful insight, isn't it? When your gut and you eat some bread or whatever, and you feel so tired, you just want to have a sleep, or the gut plays up. So if you can take a black and white break from it, even for a short time, you just get that little shard of light that comes through, and you says, "Oh my God, there is another way." and it's, yeah, you're right. It's a wonderful one.
I think probably also one of the hardest things I've found, this is something that we've done in our family on and off, not always successfully, but we made a big change around the way that we eat because we had a child with behavioural difficulties. We were very fortunate to find a naturopath to help us through that, and along that journey we learned a lot about nutrition. So we totally changed the way that we ate and we removed all of those things from our diet. What I've found to be some of the most difficult things was the social pressure put on, and I'm talking 10, 15 years ago, so it's certainly more widely accepted now, but the social pressure, well, why aren't you eating that? Or would you like to come for dinner? Sure, but I can't, we don't eat this and this. Yeah. Well, what am I going to cook you? You know, that social pressure is enormous.
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. And, it's like giving up. It's almost like giving up cigarettes.
Yes.
And beer and not having a drink.
Yes.
Right. What? How come you don't want to drink? Are you okay? just have one. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So giving up cigarettes, giving up alcohol, giving up carbohydrates, and you don't want to be too high and mighty about it. You just say no. Listen, that's what I do. I feel better for it. And again, you're right. That's a fine line because everyone goes, oh, they're on one of those funny diets, You know.
And I like the terminology that I don't know where it came from, so I can't give credit, but describing it as a way of eating rather than a diet.
Mm. And again, it does sound cliched, but it is a way you've got to, because you know a lot of patients say, Anthony, for how long? How long do I have to be off these foods, or how long do I have to do this?
Forever.
But if you want to feel good, feel great, and then if you want to go back to that way of feeling a bit yuck, well, you know how to do it. You go back to the old way. So you decide, and it's that powerful.
Mm. So what are some of the furfies or some of the other myths that I think stop people from making a change? I know when I tripped over all of this stuff about, for me, it would have been about 7, 8 years ago now, because it was before my daughter was born and she's just turned 7. Holy moly. I'm feeling a little older now. But a mate of mine actually introduced me to, I got started on paleo. I had a lot of health issues, kind of very similar to you, Anthony. So irritable bowel, and I had chronic sinus infections and skin complaints, and I could sleep 12 hours a night and wake up in the morning feeling like I'd been hit by a bus.
Yep.
And it just didn't seem to matter how much I slept. I just always felt like shit. And, you know, I had the same thing, mate. That boom and bust cycle, I'm sort of listening to you talk about that and thinking, oh, my gosh, I remember being so hangry every 2 hours. Like, it's like, I need to eat something. Don't talk to me. I need to eat something. And as soon as I've eaten, then I can have a conversation with you. But I remember sort of a lot of the myths and the furfies for me. I was just like, wow, I can't believe that that's not necessarily true, or not for me anyway. I know this isn't for everybody, but what are some of the common ones, mate?
I'd say the biggest one would be that you don't actually, you know, fiber, you know, if carbohydrates, if there were no fiber in all these foods that we hear about, you know, the cereals, the breads and all that, you know, they wouldn't have a leg to stand on. But the fiber one is always thrown up, that you've got to eat all your carbohydrates because you need fiber. And what you've got to be aware of, that, you know, things that are lower carbohydrate and more sustainable. I'm not anti-carbohydrate. I'm just into, I'm into what is a sustainable fuel.
Yeah.
And those foods are things other than carbohydrates. So that's a really important point, that it's choosing fuels that are good for you. Mm. And the majority of carbohydrates are about sort of, you know, they're 70 to 80% rocket fuel and only 20% diesel. So that's why we've got to choose an alternative.
Yep.
So fiber is there's, you know, green leafy veggies, nuts, seeds, a higher fiber than your typical grains. And avocado, pound for pound, has got more grain, more fiber than, you know, all the grains, gluten-free or non-gluten-free. It doesn't really matter. That's probably the biggest one. So you can free yourself from the, you need fibre is important, but you can get it from other sources without that, the big price tag of all the excess carbohydrates.
Yep,
that's probably one of the another one is don't fear fat. Don't, you've got to respect it, just like you've got to respect protein and fat and carbohydrates. Nothing really gets a free kick, but you've certainly don't fear fat. Fat is again that really, you know, fueling food. As is protein, you know, protein does not cause kidney disease. You know, you'd have to eat probably 20 or 30 cans of tuna a day. Even then, your kidneys could probably handle it. So just can we just kill that one off? Please just do not even, you know, send me, you got a study, send it to me and I'll send you 10 back. So we got to put that away. So we, you know, don't fear fat, don't fear protein, but still respect it. Eat when you're hungry is a big one as well. Don't think you can just eat mountains of bacon and whipped cream all the time, which is like that stereotype in the media. The Atkins diet was really badly hijacked.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say to my patients, are you hungry? No, Anthony. Well, why did you have a big plate of bacon? Well, because it was fat and fat burns fat. You go, well, you know, it may, but if you're 30 kilos overweight and you're a type 2 diabetic, there's nothing happening in the body, you know. What, you know, so they're the little things we need to start doing. So the fiber one, the protein, the fat. Heart disease is a big one. You know, what's going to kill the majority of us is going to be heart disease. That's caused really not by eating too much fat and saturated fat. It probably really is that the insulin resistance caused by too many carbohydrates or the combination of high carbohydrate and a high fat diet that a lot of us are on. Burger and chips, a pizza, fish and chips, steak and mash. You know, we've got this high fat and high carbohydrate and it's really not good for the body. So that's a big one we need to pull back on. So,
cause there's all the deep breaths drawn and the, oh, heart attack on a plate, you know, as you were saying, like bacon and eggs and a bit of avocado and some mushies and all that. And the common pushback, I guess, and a persistent fear is that, like, oh, you know, look at all that grease in there. You're gonna be dead of a heart attack in 5 years.
Yeah, the body will use that fat so efficiently. If your liver is a bit dysfunctional, if you've got what's called fatty liver, which a lot of us do have, if you've got this, you know, it's many names of pre-diabetes and insulin resistance, and many of us have it really from teens, from quite young. As soon as we get that little bit of fat around the middle, bingo, you've got pre-diabetes, insulin resistance. But getting rid of it is what we're talking about. So as soon as your liver becomes a little bit dysfunctional, your body can't use any, you know, fuel properly, carbohydrate, fat, or protein. So the body starts almost leaking gunk into the bloodstream, and this is the gunk is what is causing heart disease. But interestingly enough, the gunk being leaked into the bloodstream is fat. It's interesting, isn't it? But the fat is coming from the excess amount of carbohydrates we're eating. And this is a huge one that so many docs are still getting wrong, that we look in the bloodstream, we've got excess what's called triglycerides or excess fatty acids, but they're being leaked from the liver because the liver is trying to convert all these excess carbohydrates to fat and it's failing. We leak fat into the bloodstream. You know, decades ago and still now, the docs go, ha-ha, you've got fat in your bloodstream, you're eating too much fat. But no, you're actually eating too many carbohydrates. So it's slowly changing, but it's a big mind shift to say to people, you're putting on weight, you're insulin resistant, you've got fat in your bloodstream, that's got to be caused by fat, right? And you say, you know, it's a little bit more complex, but it's really satisfying talking to patients about this and educating them, and they make the change, and you know what, they get results. So that's it's very, very satisfying, because then they're empowered, they understand what's going on, And they can turn the switch on and off. It's lovely for patients to do that.
Because you mentioned earlier, sorry, Nicole, you were saying about, you know, a bit of your story, Anthony, where your patients weren't getting results for maybe the first 5 or 10 years of doing what you do. How has that changed then?
Again, the results are, I'd say, you know, 10 years ago, it was probably, you know, 1 to 2 out of 10 who actually got longer than a 6-week change. You know, that, you know, typically you would drop 3 to 4 kilos, and, you know, it would all come back. Now, you know, patients lose that weight and it actually stays off. And it's not, but also their blood tests get better too, Warwick. That's a big one too, you know. You know, cholesterol, blood sugar, you know, markers with blood tests actually get better. So that's probably a big one. There's more, things last months and years rather than weeks. So the blood test, the weight loss, and also I think the big one is that patients understand finally what is going on in the body. That someone has explained, what the hell is this mysterious thing called insulin resistance? What is insulin? What is fat? What is protein? What is carbohydrates? So if they understand that and the fuel analogy, then their weight loss can be more sustainable. And the brain is happier too, because the brain is not on this boom bust cycle. So the brain and the fatigue and all that feels better. So it's lovely to have patients coming back in on a regular basis. And they're not having to work. They've made some big changes, but they're not having to constantly, they know what to do. They've just got to train themselves into, you know, refining that, you know, so I'll say, okay, I don't want you to snack. I want you to eat main meals. I want you to talk about some intermittent fasting. I want you to put on some muscle. I don't want you to run marathons. I want you to put on some muscle. I want you to look at some stress relief. How can you, instead of slamming down 4 beers when you walk through the door, can you go and walk the dog, or can you go and do something? Can you go play some, you know, buy an electric guitar with a little amp and go downstairs and crank that up when you get home and just blast out some rock and roll that'll, you know, that get, you know, you won't need to drink so much alcohol or snack on so much food. Do something that'll fill that, I call that that emotional hole that we've all got. So all these little tricks need to be refined. But the first step, yeah, is getting off that, is getting off that initial roller coaster.
So on the subject of steps, Anthony, is this something that you introduce with your clients step by step, or is it something on their first visit you educate them, you give them a whole bunch of stuff they now need to not do, not eat, look at other ways to do, you know, find some stress release, et cetera, et cetera. Does all of that happen at once, or is it a very gradual process?
It's a gradual process. What are you doing? What are the, you know, how much stress do you have? You know, you've got 4 kids, you both work, you're shift workers. Okay, let's sort of break that down in regards to what are the barriers to change? You know, the stress, the kids, you know, a sick grandmother, you know, you're a carer, medication, et cetera. There are many factors. So try for me to work out, okay, let's start things slowly and work out what the barriers are. I give my patients a bit of a cheat sheet. I call it the rules of engagement. And it is things like about getting what foods I want you to start thinking about getting rid of. What are the habits, i.e. snacking? Don't fear these kind of foods. These foods aren't the angelic foods that we thought they were. And this is the reason why. And then a patient might come back, you know, in 3 weeks and say, "Yeah, Anthony, listen, mate, that was really, when I got to 4 p.m. in the afternoon, I had that horrible, I had to snack, I had to eat, I had to have a beer. Okay, what did you have for lunch? Oh, mate, I skipped lunch. But remember I said to you, I want you to have a big palm-sized piece of protein, fish, chicken, meat, Oh, I thought that was sort of optional, Anthony. No. That, you know.
Yeah.
So we talk about, did you fuel up? Well, you ran out of petrol halfway at 4 o'clock and you ate some pretzels and rice things and corn things. Oh, but Anthony, they were whole meal. But it was red wine I drank. But Anthony, but it was a banana. And you say it doesn't matter. The banana was 6 teaspoons of sugar, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
How can we do better? Okay, how about a bigger lunch? Mm. But Anthony, I'm not sleeping well. I'm hungry through the day. So, okay, how can we improve sleep? So it's me looking at the top three barriers to you,
yep,
giving you a generic cheat sheet to start changing things, and then we slowly start, chipping away at those things. And then a bit of education for patients, explaining their blood tests. Usually then it's mind's a bit clearer, lost a few kilos, feel a bit better. Okay, what do we do now to sustain this? And then the next step might be, okay, let's talk about not eating for a little bit of a longer period. This whole a mysterious thing called intermittent fasting, which really is just, let's start off and call it what it is. It's just not eating between meals and let's extend that out a little bit.
Yeah. It's not this mythical unicorn you've got to be some sort of Swami guru to be able to go without food for 3 days,
And we complicate it so much. And now I've got the confidence to say to patients is, I want you to not eat between meals. And they go, oh, what you like intermittent fasting. And I'm like, you know what I mean? You're right. Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to do a downward dog or something. And I just want you to, so we complicate it in that way. So it's looking at the barriers, looking to change those things slowly and give patients the support that's needed and explain to them that there is another way. Mm. That it's not, because the thing is too, we're following the guidelines pretty well, and 80%, 80% of Australians are overweight or obese. Mm. We're following the guidelines, but the guidelines are broken. Mm. And then all of the nutrition powers that be say, they slap us on the wrist and say, you're not eating enough fruit. You're not eating enough vegetables. You're not moving more. And we've just got to stop that. And we've just got to say, no, the foods we're eating are just putting us on this horrible roller coaster. And the hardest thing you will ever do is getting off the roller coaster. Mm. But then they'll say, oh, but no, you can't have the eggs and the meat because it's high fat. Then my patients go, oh, Anthony, you told me they were going to say that.
Yeah.
And then you're free. You're free to be an individual. And then you can be, as I say, one of the 20% that get better, but like training, like meditation, like quietening the mind, like brushing our teeth every day. We've got to do it. We've got to work at it. We fail, but at least, this is the way I brush my teeth every day. I sort of know how to do it.
Mm.
But finally you've got a new instruction manual that you still got to read. You got to bookmark, you got to go back and you go say, oh, I skipped page this and page that, but you've finally got a new way that works. And it's not all smoke and mirrors.
So Anthony, I've had the pleasure and privilege of seeing you present on this topic supported by a large regional hospital recently that has got a bit of a push for some better wellness in their district. And I guess the premise of your presentation was just tell me what to eat. And I suspect there's a lot of listeners that, I think there's a bit of a stereotype about tradies and their diet, that it's all meat pies and ice breakers. And unfortunately, I still see quite a lot of, tradies and trade business owners that do go for the quick, convenient things because they are busy. They don't necessarily have time to prepare meals and that sort of stuff. But if someone's listening to this thinking, okay, I know I want to lose weight or get healthier, you know, I'm in my 40s or 50s or maybe even my 30s and I'm sick of being unwell or tired, what should I be eating, mate?
Yeah, and you know, the biggest thing is that the change is to get off, again, the cliche I'm always using, to get off that roller coaster. Just appreciate and say to yourself, you got to work at it. You're finally on the right road, and you've just got to, for the short term, I'm talking a few weeks or a few months, you're just going to have to expect a bit of change. Mm. So that's an important one, but it's change for the better. And that will give you the confidence to be able to stretch out time between eating. So you won't be driven to have that meat pie or that, you know, the iced coffee or whatever. You're not going to be, you know, you will be able to say to yourself, no, I don't need that food. And you might hear me say that and go, oh, mate, you've got to be kidding. I will never say that I can't have that food, but you will. You can draw, you know, you can start winning the battle and start saying to your, when your brain doesn't need it, you can start saying, my God, wow, normally I would have done this and done that. So what I want you to eat is, yeah, I want you to fuel up. And again, it's about, you might say, but I haven't got time to cook bacon and eggs in the morning.
Mm.
But, you know, can you dive off Facebook for 5 minutes? You know, make up the bacon and eggs, or you know, have you got some leftovers from last night? Some leftover rump, you know, with some leftover, you know, peas or beans or something you can chuck in a Tupperware container, and that's breakfast.
Yeah.
So breakfast will be chops, steak, or a bloody leftover pork chop. That's breakfast. And lunch can be the same. Lunch can be another, you know, few snags. And dinner can be the same as, again, you know, like, what I mean?
It's like the man's dream diet, isn't it?
It is.
Well, you know, yeah, and it's, you might say, oh, mate, it's high meat, meat, meat. And you say, well, listen, if that's going to get you initially changed, then we can broaden out your diet a little bit. But everything is unmade. You know, we can, there's no such thing as, but Anthony, the breakfast cereal, it's so easy, it's convenient, it's quick. Absolutely, you're all right. You're true, it's cheap. It sits in the cupboard for months and it doesn't go off. I agree with you. But mate, oh, that steak, that's a bit expensive. I got to cook it. You know, yeah, I know, I get you. I've been there, I've done that. But this is these are the things that you will, that will get you on the right road.
It's making that choice, isn't it, Anthony? Of you know, it's like anything else that Coxie and I talk about on the podcast, whether it's SEO, whether it's improving cash flow or staff relations or your waistline and your life expectancy. There's choices that need to be made, and not all of them are easy. We sort of know, and we talk about the fact on the podcast that change is hard. So you know, to go from 6 Weet-Bix and some honey and a splash of you know, low-fat milk in the mornings, to whether it's bacon and eggs or, like you say, leftovers, or, you know, a couple snags, even if they're cold snags, throw them in a Ziploc bag and munch on them while you're in the ute on the way to the first job, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, snags, eggs, you know.
It's change, and you know, we just have to decide what we want more. Do we want the problem of heart disease and stroke and obesity and diabetes and, you know, brain fog and all that sort of stuff? Or do we want to, you know, have just enough discipline to make those changes in the short term until they become habits?
And the thing is too, you know, it sounds cliched again, but it works. You know, if you were to say, if I was an accountant and I said, listen, I want you to put all this money into this bank account, and in 6 months, a year time, or when you retire, there's no money left. There's nothing there. Well, you know, you've obviously made the, you know, you want to see change. You want to see savings. You want to see investment there. But that's what happens with changing your eating habits as well. You will see change. You will notice change, physical and mental change. And the one important thing that I haven't mentioned as well, I haven't focused on, is that whole stress eating as well. We've all got social, financial, you know, peer stress. We've all got it. We're under the pump what you wouldn't believe. And that leads us to eat the wrong foods. We can't plan, or I just need a quick fix. And the horrible thing about food is it does make us feel better for a short period of time. We do get a lovely fix of serotonin and dopamine of endorphins when we eat the meat pie, we eat the Magnum, we eat the dairy milk chocolate. You get a great feeling because the body's saying, great, I'm going to survive for a little bit longer in the wild because I've just eaten something and I'm going to feel good for it, you know. And getting off that and trying to get off that stress, you know, trying to, again, as I say, trying to fill the hole, that emotional hole with things other than alcohol and food is something that we do need to work at. But and listen, the thing is it does work. The results are wonderful, and you know, it's a real, I say this, it's a real game changer, which is a wonderful thing to say. I didn't think I'd ever say that, but it's bloody confusing too, because there's a lot of, it's a really combative space at the moment. It's a combative one. So again, you've got to stick to your guns.
So what are you having for lunch today, Anthony?
I have got a choice, actually. I've got a choice between actually some leftover beef sausages, or I've got a lovely can of red salmon there. So it'll be one or the other, and it'll be with the biggest choice I've got. Do I have half an avocado or do I eat the whole avocado? But, you know, and that'll keep me going till dinner. So yeah, so it'll be snags or salmon or and an avo.
Perfect.
Well, I'm gonna show that I'm a bit of a groupie of Anthony's, because I'm having leftover meatballs that Anthony's posted on his Instagram feed.
Well, they're good, aren't they?
With a bit of tomato sauce, which is not tomato sauce from a bottle, but a tin of tomatoes, a bit of tomato paste, and some coconut aminos in the pan when I made these meatballs. And my wife has actually, we literally fought over the leftover meatballs this morning. She said, "I think I'm going to take those meatballs for lunch again today at work." I was like, "Are you going to leave me any?" She said, "Oh, I don't know. Oh, all right, I'll take the dirty old roast beef and some salad." I said, "No, you take the bloody meatballs." So, yeah, we had a bit of a tiff about who was going to have the. I won. I got the meatballs.
And you can, and that's, you know, that's so proud. That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know,
yeah.
And the lovely thing is they're all interchangeable. So don't you can have scrambled eggs for dinner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like having breakfast for dinner sometimes. It's awesome. I feel like a kid.
Yeah, you have a fry up breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you'll lose weight and you'll feel great, and you won't clog your artery. So, you know, the everything is made, which is lovely, and you've got to be an individual.
So, Anthony, we must let you go because we know you've got patients queuing up to come and get healthier with you. just two final things. What's one thing you wish every tradie would do?
I would say rethink alcohol. That probably sounds like a stereotype. With the whole stress relief thing, I think drinking to excess, and I'm not talking, you know, when we're young and having a good Friday night out, I'm talking about drinking regularly. Rethink drinking regularly to excess and changing diet. It's bloody hard to do both, to keep drinking on a regular basis and change your diet. And the second one is you can't out-exercise, you can't out-dig a hole or hammer nails if you're trying to lose weight. You know what I mean? You can't out-exercise a bad diet. So as a tradie, you're going to be bloody physical. I wouldn't last a day as a tradie. the gym, the deadlifting, the squatting is certainly helping, but don't think you can out-exercise, outwork a bad diet.
Yeah.
Change your diet to feel better. That'd be the two tips, because you'll finally lose the weight, you'll feel great. And you know what? You'll be able to last a day. Your work will get better. And when you come home to do the book work, you will, you know, that horrible bloody book work we've all got to do, you'll feel better. You'll be able to do that too with better mental clarity. So
yeah,
don't try to outrun a fork, as I say, yeah.
Nice, mate. And the last question is, where do people go to find out more about you and what you do, Anthony?
Well, dive to my website. So it's just Power, you know, just Google search it, Anthony Power Nutrition. The website, powernutrition.com.au. And, you know, on Facebook as well, I try to, you know, just Google search Anthony Power Nutrition. It's a great one on Facebook. I usually put you know, comment on some research or put some recipes up and you know, little bits and pieces. I put a newsletter out. So just dive into the website or the Facebook side and I try to put some info there. Mm. And I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to put some ebooks together and a bit of information that patients who aren't in Brisbane, patients who can't come to see me privately, can just download some info and get started. So it's something that I'm working on. And then you can do things in your own time where you're in, you know, you're in Blackall, you're in Darwin, you're in Cunnamulla. It doesn't really matter. You can start.
Yeah.
And you don't need, I'm here to help, but you can get the basics down.
Fantastic, mate. And for Brizzy listeners, Anthony's also on ABC Radio regularly,
yeah,
mate?
ABC Brizzy at 8:45 every couple of weeks. I'm on tomorrow morning every couple of weeks on 6:12 ABC Brizzy. So that's great. Again, it's just about busting myths.
Mm.
It's just about, Anthony, what do we do? What? Just tell me what to eat. What does this research mean? Why is it so confusing? Why is it so hard? You know, it's really great answering some questions in a practical way. So that's been a real honor. Like, seriously, chatting to both of you about things like this, it's for me, my job is to get the you know, real information out there. That's my job. And finally, I'm able to do my job and I'm able to succeed at my job after failing at my job. Because I had the wrong instruction manual for so long. So it's really nice getting the word out there. So it's a real pleasure.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks, mate. Great to have you on the show.
All right. It's a pleasure.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. All that talk about food. And as we record this, we finished bang on 12 o'clock, which is the end of my 16-hour fast. I've actually done about 18 hours today.
How do you do, like, that's a new area for me. I'm not sure about the whole fasting thing. I like my food a lot.
Yeah.
Do you miss it?
So do I. See, I actually appreciate my food more now than I did in prior years before I found all this stuff and figured out that there was another way. And I think that's really what this whole episode comes down to, is there is another way. And it turns out the other way is freaking awesome, because I sit down to a big steak and a big plate of roast veggies with butter on them and salt.
I'd love it.
And it tastes amazing, and I feel so good when I eat it, because afterwards I don't get that horrible bloated feeling and, you know, I need to go and have a snooze. I feel satiated. I feel, you know, full, like I've just had a good meal, but I don't feel crook. I don't get heartburn anymore. I don't have any of those issues anymore. So I actually find that, you know, doing what Anthony talked about, and I've been doing it, as I said, for 7 or 8 years now, I actually feel a hell of a lot better, and I enjoy my food more, and I actually enjoy time in the kitchen more than I used to, because I don't eat as often, so I don't have to cook as often and prepare as often and wash as many bloody dishes. So, yeah, I absolutely love it. And the fasting thing, look, that's if you're just starting out with this stuff, I wouldn't worry about it. As Anthony says, just try and cut back the snacking between meals.
And that's a great first step, isn't it?
Yeah, and just have a good breakfast, lunch and dinner, you know. Mm. Have a good breakfast, whether it's a cooked breakfast or some leftovers or whatever, and a good lunch. I see photos of tradie lunches and they're doing the whole healthy tradie thing. And it's a you know, a wrap with three little tiny strips of chicken and some salad. It's like, that whoever's having that is going to be hungry in an hour, I guarantee it.
They are, and they're going to be sleepy, and they're not going to be thinking clearly.
So it's that boom bust jet fuel cycle that that Anthony was talking about. So yeah, I'm a convert, obviously.
Yes, same. And now I'm hungry, and I need a steak.
So anyway, we'll let you go have some lunch, listeners. Great episode, as Anthony said. Go check him out. He's very busy on social media, so just look for Power Nutrition or powernutrition.com.au, and we'll put all the links to that in the show notes. And if you're not in the group, go jump in Tradies in Business on Facebook. Post a picture of what you eat. Show us a picky. What did you have for lunch today? What are you having for breakfast? Have you made some changes with your nutrition? We want to hear about it. And maybe you're busting some of those meat pie icebreaker myths about tradies.
No.
All right, I'm off to eat too.
Have a great day, listeners. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You've been listening to the Tradies in Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesandbusiness.com.au.